Bristol, For the Record, a new local oral history podcast from BCFM Radio in partnership with MShed Bristol and funded by the National Lottery Heritage Fund.
Over 25 million visits are made by over 80% of the Bristol population to parks and green spaces in Bristol every year, making it the most used leisure facility in the city. And there is one man who has decided to take photos of all of them. Well, most of them anyway. In recent years, he's featured in the Landscape Photographer of the Year book twice, and also won the Historic England category twice at the Historic Photographer of the Year Awards. His photography has featured in the BBC, Guardian, Times, Telegraph, Observer, Daily Mail, and most importantly, they won the Parent and Staff category for his son's school photo competition. It's Sam Biding. Hi, Sam.
Hello. Nice to meet you.
Let's get into it. Why are local green and beauty spots so important?
It's really important to me. I love getting out and about in the morning at sunrise. It's a much more peaceful time now. I'm kind of like, I feel like I'm in touch with nature. I can watch the sun come up. You're there for the bird call. You're there right at the start of the day and you can see the city waking up. It's a really nice time of the day for me. So I try and get out there as much as possible.
And what are some of your favourite green spots in Bristol? Go through them for us.
Okay. I've got loads of spots across Bristol. I basically try and find anywhere where I can kind of get the best sunrise photo, whether it's misty or you know, the wildlife is interesting. So probably the first one for me is Ashton Court. They have red deer there. Perfect angle for me in terms of capturing the city and also having that juxtaposition of wildlife. So I love it there. You get nice, quite a lot of mist happens there as well, which is great.
And you're a self-proclaimed mist hunter.
I am a mist hunter. That's kind of... For me, it makes a better photo. I don't know if it matters to anyone else, but it makes me happy. So that's the main thing. Ashton Court's great. I love... Lee Woods is nice as well. It's kind of... you get an interesting selection of trees there. Also, you've got a view of the city in a part of it, which is quite nice. It's a great place to walk my dog. And Clifton is nice as well. Around the observatory, there's Clifton Promenade, which is lovely, the Downs. And then on my... I live in Knowle. We've got lots of really nice local parks, like Arnos Court Park, which has a lovely cherry tree at the top at the moment, Arnos Fell Cemetery. There are loads of other parks locally to me, which I quite like as well.
Do you have a favourite?
My favourite park... Probably, I mean, I think it depends on the time of year, actually. Right at the moment, my local park is Arnos Court Park. And I said there's a cherry tree at the top of the hill, which is absolutely stunning at the moment. It's kind of, it's really, for photographically, it's lovely. It's kind of a nice angle. Great for me, personally. It's only a 5-minute walk as well, which is even better. Especially at that time of day.
Very convenient. So before we get into your photography work, as a human, as a person, we talked about it a little bit. Beauty spots in local green areas are important for our mental health as well, aren't they? And many other things.
They really are. I think, you know, people have, especially since COVID, people have been looking for ways to kind of unwind and, you know, de-stress, get rid of some of that anxiety. And, you know, taking a walk out in the countryside is good for exercise, get a bit of oxygen, and you can kind of, you know, just step away from whatever you're doing, whether it's, you know, busy jobs and so on. And that's kind of why I'm drawn to sunrises as well, because I basically have the city to myself at that time of day, especially when it approaches this time of year and towards the kind of the summer. Sunrises is a ridiculous time of day. And no one else is silly enough to be up then. So I've got it to myself, which is great.
So you're suggesting that the best time of day to go walking in Bristol in the amazing green and open spaces is the sunrise?
I would say so. I mean, it does. Sometimes it can look otherworldly. I've had a few mornings the last couple of months where there's been like a cloud inversion across the city. So you have like a layer of a blanket of mist. and you get this amazing light when the sun comes up, golden light, light rays everywhere. And it's very surreal, and it's very relaxing as well. And also quite stressful if you're a photographer, you're running around trying to get a photo. So it's kind of a bit of both worlds.
So leading perfectly to your photography, how does someone get into landscape photography? How does that happen?
For me, it wasn't really intentional, actually. I was always kind of taking family photos, holiday snaps over the years. And then we had a little boy, and he was probably only a few months old, and he'd be up in the middle of the night, you know, as they are. And one morning I was in the nursery, I think it was about 5 a.m, and it was the middle of the summer, and I just looked out the window, and there was just a layer of mist across. We overlook the east, the sort of southeast of the city. We got a really lovely view from the house, and there was a layer of mist just kind of flowing across the city. And I was like, what on earth is that? This is amazing. And we've got a dog as well. And I thought, well, I know, I'm going to go out and try and see if I can see a bit more of this, because this looks really interesting. And I started going out in the morning. And at the same time as that, started posting photos on Instagram, which was getting bigger and bigger. It was quite big already, but there's a very big Bristol photography community. And so I started posting photos, and Instagrammers Bristol was quite a big account locally. They featured some, and that was kind of quite a big deal for me. I got to meet people through it, and then that kind of snowballed from there. You get encouragement, and then I got, you know, it just basically led me to try and find new places to get photos. And then before you know it, I was entering photos in different competitions, getting photos in magazines, and it's, it snowballs, really.
Very inspiring for anybody wanting to maybe start a new career or change of career. What would you say to them?
I would say, I mean, for me, first and foremost, photography is fun. It gets me out. It's good exercise as well. I mean, my exercise is almost entirely photography-based now. You know, I can be quite lazy, but it's a good one to get me out there and, you know, walk the dog as well. It's a difficult job, I think, for someone to go into. I mean, for me, it's still a hobby. I sell prints, which is great. But I think if you're doing it as a career, I think you need to kind of have more of a, you need to go for more of a niche, you know, whether you want to go into wedding photography or something like that. I think for me, I just want to enjoy it as much as possible. And it ticks a lot of other boxes as well.
As well as your photography, you talked about walking your dog.
Yeah.
And then maybe also walking with your children as well.
Yeah.
Can you suggest some spots in Bristol that are good for these particular...
Yeah. I mean, Bristol, we're very lucky. One thing I love about Bristol is that it's a relatively small city. We used to live in London, and that is the exact opposite. That with Bristol, you can hop from one side of the other pretty quickly. So there are loads of places locally, you know, whether it's walking around the harbour, which I love doing as well. Like, you can do a little lap of the harbour all the way around, and it's lovely at sunrise as well. Places like Blaise Castle, which is vast.
It's massive, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really good. And there's loads to it as well. You've got the pretend castle at the top, and then there's loads of other bits to walk around. And, you know, great fun for kids. Places like Snuff Mills as well is great. Stoke Park, where they can run around. And locally, we've got quite a few good parks, whether it's Perrott's Park, it's like a big sloping hill. Brilliant when there's the balloon fiesta. You've got a view directly towards Ashton Court, so you can see them all taking off. And if it snows, it's brilliant for sledging as well, which is, you'd have to be nuts to sledge down there, but lots of people like doing it. So,
yeah, in Bristol, we have so much choice, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, it's, I'm trying to think where else. I mean, Ashton Court is absolutely massive. And then further afield from that, we've got lots of little parks and woodland dotted around everywhere. And if you want to travel outside of Bristol, we've got, you know, you can go as Clevedon, Chew Valley, all of those places around there are brilliant places to walk. And they're all on our doorstep as well.
So while you've been out taking photos or just having a walk with friends, family, or your dog, are there been any sort of funny incidences that have occurred or happened?
I'm trying to think. Let's think. So, I mean, photography, it can be quite interesting. So, Ashton Court, I've I'll try and get photos of the deer. Obviously, you can't go into where the deer are in the enclosure, but I've been up by the fence, and my dog, he's a French bulldog. He's not a normal dog. He's quite patient. He'll sit there getting progressively more irritated while I'm taking photos. But we were there at Ashton Court one morning with the deer on the other side of the fence, and he was just looking at me. One of the deer poked his head through and tried to headbutt Barney. He missed him, luckily. Barney didn't move, didn't care. But quite often, I see lots of really interesting things. I especially this time of year when there's like bluebells, wild garlic. I took Barney to a wood near Flax Bolton, I think, Bolton Coombe, think it's called.
And it's springtime, isn't it, at the moment?
So springtime, amazing. You've got just colour everywhere. And I was trying to get photos of wild garlic, which is, if you're in the landscape photography world, it's like full of pictures of wild garlic. And so everyone thinks they need to go and take photos of wild garlic, which is what I went and tried to do. And I've learned since there's quite a lot of ticks in wild garlic and around bluebells as well. And I didn't really twig that at the time. And I felt something thud on my hat as we were walking through this, like, it was really lush. The woods there are incredible. Smells of wild garlic. It's really strong in the air. And we were walking through and I felt something land on my head and I ignored it. And then we kept on walking further on. And then I was taking a photo right in amongst all the wild garlic. And I looked down and there was this massive tick crawling across my hand. And I basically freaked out, picked up Barney and ran back to the car, got back to the car, picked up Barney, looked at him, and he was just crawling in ticks. And yeah, I kind of freaked out. And so basically, I'm never going to take photos of wild garlic again, but they make great photos. And watch out for ticks if you do.
That is very good advice. Thank you, Sam.
That's all right. A few nightmares in there.
And the amazing thing about walking in green and open spaces is that you get to learn about plants, don't you?
Yes, you do. Yeah, I mean, if someone asked me 5 years ago if I knew about cloud formations and about humidity and about what a bluebell looks like, I would have been like, no, absolutely no chance I would have any idea about any of that. But I've learned a lot doing photography. I've learned about the cycles of the moon. I've learned about the Milky Way, when it's likely to appear, and planning a photo, trying to get the alignment of the sun right. It's opened a lot of doors and it's taught a lot of things. I've learned a lot of things through it. And, I would never have found all these amazing little secret locations across Bristol. We're very blessed how much stuff we have on our doorstep. So I've learned a lot through that.
So Sam, everybody has a smartphone now and they are taking photos using their smartphone.
Yeah.
So we're all photographers now, aren't we?
Yes, exactly. We are. When I probably got into photography at the start, I was taking photos with my phone. And they were totally fine. I don't think you need a proper camera unless there's something you're specifically trying to take. I was lucky to get into Landscape Photographer of the Year last year. And I know a couple of people who are based here who also got into the book. And they are phone photographers as well. So there's no rule. And actually, phone photography, the cameras on phones, they're getting better and better every few months. There's a new one that comes out, and really you don't need a proper camera. I mean, if you want to get into astrophotography, so where you and you want to do like long exposure shots, you need a decent camera for that.
Because what's astrophotography?
Astrophotography is so basically night photography. So if you want to get a photo of the Milky Way and get the stars and get galaxies, you need to have a camera where you can stick it on a tripod, leave the shutter open for 15, 20, 30 seconds or even longer, and then you let in as much light as possible. You can pick up all the stuff going on above. That's basically the difference. I mean, a phone, the camera is great, but if you try and take a photo at night, you're not really going to pick anything up. Although, having said that, the other night I was in Clevedon, and I got a photo of the, it was when the Northern Lights were visible above Clevedon, and it was incredible. It was so strong, I could pick it up on my phone as well. So the technology with that is getting better and better.
We've mentioned you have appeared in the Landscape Photographer of the Year book twice. Mm. I mean, congratulations.
Thank you.
How did that come about, and what were you taking photos of?
So I think I thought, well, I've seen his competitions, and I thought, well, I'll just chuck some photos and see how we get on. And, it's quite humbling. You know, they're basically judged by lots of a variety of people who are really good photographers, and it's a very subjective thing. So, you know, featuring in a competition is great, but obviously it's down to the personal preference of the judges at the time. But it's just lovely, you know, it's an honour to get a photo in a well-respected book. I think, so they have an exhibition that tours some of the main railway stations across the country. It's just great to get a bit of exposure as well. So I sold a few prints off the back of that. So yeah, it's quite, you know, it's an honour. And seeing it in Waterstones is great. So,
what did you take a photo of?
So that one was, the photo in last year's one was from Snowdonia. It was a quarry up in, and it was the Dinoric Quarry, I think it's called. And it was really moody. Really moody photo. The year before, I got in with a photo from Cheddar Gorge, which was quite nice.
Because, just down the road.
Yeah. So I grew up in Wedmore, went to Cheddar School. So it was quite nice. It had a bit of meaning to me, that one, because, you know, I went to school there, and I hated going to school, as everyone does. But, you know, growing up there, it was quite nice to be back and have that kind of connection. And then to get that photo, have, you know, for it to have some recognition was quite nice.
And also, twice you've won the Historic England category.
Yeah.
At the Historic Photographer of the Year Awards. Again, please tell us more.
So that's another, I mean, you know, photographers like firing off photos to different competitions, and that was another one. I thought, well, let's have a go. And so the first one was a misty photo of the suspension bridge, which was great. So I was quite chuffed to get that in there. And then last year was Glastonbury Tor, also misty. So there's a bit of a theme. Most of the photos are mist-based. Everything basically looks better with mist around it.
I think you found the niche here.
Yeah, that's my niche. So astrophotography comes alongside that. That's my anti-mist photo genre. But yeah, I think from a photography point of view, it's a much more subtle look to things. It can, you know, it's much more appealing, I think, for me anyway.
So you featured in the BBC, Guardian, The Times, Telegraph, so many different publications. What photos are these that are in there? Are they of Bristol, or are they of other places?
I think some of them will be off the back of some of the competitions quite often. I think with Historic Photographer, they got quite a lot of press coverage off the back of that. And I had a few other photos that were shortlisted as well, like at Corfe Castle. And there was another one at Borough Mump in Somerset. Borough Mump is it a church? It's like a little church on a hill. Surrounded by the Somerset Levels, so that was in there as well. But yeah, it's quite nice to get stuff published, especially in newspapers. And quite often you'll get, like, if I post a photo, sometimes a press agency will quickly get in touch and say, can we publish this? Can we send this off? And, you know, I've had that a few times. It's been, you know, it's quite nice. Get paid for it. So photography doesn't pay very much money, so things like that are quite nice.
Are there any interesting facts or myths or legends of any sort of green spaces in Bristol that you're aware of and that you find interesting?
My basic knowledge of the suspension bridge is, I think the myth surrounding that is about Gorham and Vincent, two giants.
Yeah, the feuding giants.
Which I found quite interesting. But I mean, I wouldn't say I'm knowledgeable about it.
Wasn't it that they had a fight over the same woman that they were in love with, and that created the gorge?
That's right. I think one of them was responsible for creating a gorge in the river in somewhere around Henbury, I think. And then Vincent was responsible for the Avon Gorge. So all based on a true story.
Of course.
People were a lot bigger back then.
All right. So we've been very, very positive about green and open spaces in Bristol.
Yeah.
Are there any spots that you would like to complain about or that you feel need some more TLC, perhaps, maybe?
I think I was saying earlier that since lockdown, I've certainly found everywhere to be a lot busier, which is understandable. People obviously weren't able to travel, and so they suddenly started trying to find places around Bristol. And so Lee Woods was one of my go-to spots, and that became a lot busier, which is obviously great. You know, it's great that people are getting in touch with nature, getting outside, and they've started parking charges there now, whereas before you could just rock up and park and then it'll be fine. Obviously that makes sense because they're having to fund to maintain it, and obviously the parking area is improved as a result of that.
So you are for the new parking charges?
I don't mind it, but obviously I think, you know, I've got friends there's a friend who's a dog walker, and obviously they have to pay now when they go out, so it's obviously harder from that point of view. But some of the places I've been to, there's more litter as a result, so you've got more people visiting spaces. And I remember after lockdown finished, I went up to the observatory, the Clifton Observatory, and it was just literally covered in junk everywhere, because I don't know, maybe it's getting people who are coming there who are, you know, dropping litter more. I don't know whether it's a growing problem, whether people have switched off a little bit about it. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I've got anything to whinge about.
But why do you think people feel they have a right to just leave their litter and rubbish in green and open spaces? Why do you think we do that?
Maybe people feel like someone else is going to come along and clean up after them. Or maybe it's a frustration running through society at the moment, and perhaps people would like, well, it's not my problem. I don't know.
Are there enough bins provided, maybe?
For example, at the observatory, when I was there, there were lots of bins, and they were overflowing. But then, I've always thought that, you know, if there's no bin available, it's like when I'm out walking the dog, I'll take it home with me. And the same with dog bins as well. So our local park, one of our local parks is Redcatch, and quite often it's quite frustrating as a dog walker when you find someone has let their dog do their business and then they've just walked off. And it's, I don't know if it's more of a problem there than anywhere else, but I've had that. So I actually avoid taking my dog there now.
Yeah, it's interesting talking about dog poo. We'll call it dog poo. Has it got better or worse, that situation?
I don't think it's got any worse, but maybe because more people are visiting some of the green spots, perhaps it is getting worse.
Just numbers, a number game.
I think so. But again, it's not really a massive issue. I just wish people felt about it a little bit more like I do. Whereas, like, I'm super careful. I cannot stand seeing dog poo lying around, and I'll clear up after my dog. But it's not something that's main cause for concern for me.
What does the future hold for you, Sam, and your landscape photography?
I just want to keep enjoying it. I like to keep finding new spots, especially locally. So I just
Have you found any new recent spots?
I'm kind of pushing further and further away from Bristol, because there's lots of little woods dotted around, and I quite like tree photography, and so trying to come a, sort of find interesting trees. And Lee Woods has got loads. It's so huge there. There's like really gnarly oak trees, and they make great photos, especially when the conditions are nice. So trying to find an interesting composition and then waiting for the right misty conditions to come along. That's kind of what I want to do, really. I'd like to sort of keep progressing with my photography, try and get a style that I feel like I've got a proper style to my photography, because I don't think I'm quite there yet. And then concentrate on making things look better to sell as prints. that's kind of where I want to take it, really. But I just want to keep enjoying it, getting out there as much as possible. You were asking earlier about, you know, how would someone get into photography? I think that's the first part, is just to get out there and to get exploring around all the different places we've got across Bristol. Because there's so many different amazing places around this city. It's just good to get out there.
In your vision, how would you like to see the future of Bristol parks and green spaces?
Just making it as accessible as possible for everyone. I think, you know, public transport's getting better in the city. I think getting everyone out there, there's a lot of these different woodlands and stuff around the city, and making those as accessible as possible. I think, you know, if I wasn't able to get to these spots as easily as I can, you know, maybe I wouldn't be doing photography as much as I am at the moment. You know, if people can, I mean, I've seen some people haven't been up to the suspension bridge in Clifton before. I think the better connected the city is, the more people can kind of get involved and see stuff. So improving accessibility for everyone, that's I think a key thing.
And I guess it's also about protecting the environment as well, isn't it, in this current climate emergency?
Yeah, totally. Protecting the wild space, encouraging flower everywhere in the city, growing as much as possible. I think and I know a lot of the places have been left to grow, which is great. So as long as we keep that green space, and as long as we make sure we don't, you know, pollute it in any way, then that's great.
But what do you think about social media and how it connects us to nature?
I mean, for me personally, it's been great. It's improved my mental health. It's helped me discover lots of places, you know, discover lots of places in nature across the city, and also beyond that. I mean, I'll often go up to the Mendips. It's amazing around there, and then Chew Valley. There's loads to see. So I think social media has been very valuable for me.
And also, there might be people listening that may not have people to go walking with, or go hiking with, or to take photos with, and there's walking groups, aren't there? So you don't have to go alone. Yeah. There's walking groups throughout Bristol. Get in contact with them, have a look on the internet, and you can walk with others as well.
Yeah, so I mean, that's another thing, actually. So with social media, whether it's, Instagram is Bristol, big social media account, and quite often they'll arrange a meet or a walk. I've been on a couple of them, and it's just a complete variety of people. A lot of them won't know anyone there already. And it's a good way to kind of discover Bristol. I went on one where we walked miles, went all the way up to Troopers Hill. I met loads of people, many of which I'm still friends with. And it's, you know, it's great. I think social media is, like I said, it's, you know, lots of negatives about worrying how you appear and stuff online, but actually I think there are lots of positives to it as well.
It's true, isn't it? Walking is a really great way to make new friends and form new connections.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I learned a lot about people and a lot about the city at the same time. So I think it's well worth doing that.
Sam Binding, thank you so much for your time.
A pleasure. Lovely to be here.